And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, positive talk radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is more than one way to look at something. Each of my guests is showing us that there's more than one way to view their subject. My next guest examines how and why we argue. She presents there's more than one way to view any disagreement. We'll examine her life-changing tactics for reaching agreement from her book titled The Triangle of Truth. And if you want to join in the conversation or if you want to ask a question of Lisa, you can call us at 639-0008. Business strategist Lisa Earle McLeod is an expert in sales force and leadership development. She's an author, a consultant, a syndicated columnist, a media commentator, and a keynote speaker. She's recognized in a lot of different ways. She's a thought leader because of her latest book, The Triangle of Truth, and the book was named by the Washington Post as one of the top five business books for leaders. She's a bottom-line-oriented business advisor whose firm, McLeod and Moore Incorporated, was featured in Fortune magazine. She's a problem-solving expert whose conflict resolution handbook was delivered to every member of the House and Senate, and clearly it was not used. She's a contributor for Forbes.com and an author of over 500 articles. She and her husband live in Hotlanta. They are the parents of two fabulous teenage daughters. Welcome to the show, Lisa. How are you today?
I am great.
Good.
Well, I'm going to beg to differ with you. There are two congressmen using that book.
Two congressmen out of 535. Well, you've made penetration. That's good. Congratulations to you on that, and I give you credit for those two. But we just have 533 more to go.
Two down, 533 to go.
There you go. Exactly.
This is the goal of my lifetime. I'm on a 5-year timetable, and I'm telling you, I'm going to make it.
Well, we're all behind you 100% on that goal. All right, Lisa. Let's dive into it, because I like your perspective. You've got a unique perspective to problem solving. You rightly point out that there's no difference between a problem that a person faces at work and problems that a person faces at home as well. I mean, if you've got blinders on at work, you're going to have those same blinders on at home. I get that. And what I like is that you identify the problem very succinctly. The problem is with other people. Finally, somebody gets it, and that's certainly true. But
it's all those other people, if you think about it. Every problem that you have.
So true.
A business problem. Every conflict you have, a business conflict, something with politics. What's the root of the problem? Every time. Other people.
Well, and the beauty of your book is that many other books on this subject always say that the problem lies with me. And you say, no, it's with other people. So explain what you mean.
Well, here's the thing. The problem actually lies with both of us. But the challenge that we face is, I'm a business consultant, and this is a problem that costs companies lots and lots of money. And where I first spotted the problem was in a sales environment. And we've all been called on by different salespeople, and all they talk about is themselves. And a lot of the coaching and training that I did was to help salespeople ask more questions of their customer and understand the customer. And I had one sales guy say to me one day, when is it going to be about me? I'm here to sell something. I don't want to ask the customer a bunch of questions. I want to close the deal. I want to sell something. And so what I realized was, this is a thought pattern where all we can see is our own point of view. And so I saw his belief system said that I can either talk about me or I can talk about them. And it's either going to be about me or it's going to be about them. And what I realized is, and I did some study on this, this is a common pattern of the human mind, this either-or way of thinking. And what I came to understand is, we're so focused on our own point of view, we are so self-righteous, whether it's a political argument or a business argument or an argument with our spouse, that we fail to see the other person's point of view because we think it negates ours. But it doesn't. And so that's why I say the problem is other people and all their annoying points of view, is we perceive those as in conflict with us. And if we could find a way, and that's what I set out to do in this book, to hold on to our point of view and understand the other person's point of view, we become the smartest person in the room.
Well, it's interesting that you should phrase it that way, because F. Scott Fitzgerald said, the test of first-rate intelligence is the ability to hold two opposing ideas in mind at the same time and still retain the ability to function. Now, you say the ability to hold two competing ideas in mind at the same time and combine them to find a solution really sort of elevates everybody. It brings us closer to what we want.
It brings me closer to what I want.
Okay. So define what you mean a little bit by that, and let's talk really about your art of communications, the triangle of truth.
Well, here's what I came to realize, and I spent about 5 years, and I studied the interactions of super successful people. And by super successful, what I mean is the people that were able to get what they want and have the other people leave satisfied, not just get what they want and the other party leaves unhappy and never wants to do business with them again, or they get what they want and the other party never wants to go on a date with them again, but really successful people who were able to get what they want and have the other party leave happy. And it was called into taking all this information, spent 10,000 hours observing these interactions, really came upon 7 core operating principles that these super successful people have. And they're in the book, but I'm going to share a couple of them with you today. I'll share 3 of them with you. The first one was embrace and, because this either-or way of thinking, either I'm right, so you must be wrong. Either my department's going to get budget or your department's going to get budget. Either we're going to do it my way or your way. This way of thinking is really the root of all the problems. And some of the interesting data emerged when we say this. Did you know that when you were interacting with another person, only 7% of their response is to your content, the actual words you say?
Yes, I did.
Do you know what the other 93% is?
Well, body language and also tone.
Body language and tone and all these subconscious messages. And so this is really important, because if I go in to an interaction with my customer and I'm thinking, I want to close this deal, oh my God, I'm so behind on my quota. Or if I go into a department head meeting, that jerk in IT, he's not going to railroad me again. I'm going to get my share of this budget. Or if I come home at the end of the day and my spouse wants one thing and I want another. This came out a lot in male-female dynamics.
Mm.
If I'm thinking either they're going to win or I'm going to win, it doesn't matter how nice my words are. They're going to read that other 93%, whether I know it or not. I can study body language and all these other things, but what I really think is going to leak out all over the place.
All right. Now, that's interesting, Lisa. Let me stop you right there and challenge you, if I can, please, because we're all taught that, you know, compromise is what it's all about, and we move forward for the common good. So, you know, give a little bit here, take a little bit there, but in the long run, we get to where we want to be. So how is this different than just basic compromise?
It's very different than compromise. Let me tell you why. I taught negotiating skills for years in business. And one of the things that I observe time and time again is we call it a win-win, but truly shrewd, savvy negotiators don't do a win-win. They do a I win, you think you won. Because what happens in a negotiation is I try to figure out some ways I can get from you the really important things to me that are high value to me, and then I try and give low value things away. And so this is different in negotiation, because this requires, and I'll tell you the second principle, is you have to be able to sit with uncertainty. And the reason the model is called the triangle of truth is you have to get to the core truth, which is very different than the solution. For example, if I go into a budget meeting and I'm the head of IT and you're the head of sales, and I think all the resources should be directed to my project and you should have all your sales guys do XYZ, but you think, oh God, those people in IT never get anything done. What we really need is more resources put into, you know, our customers, and you and I can battle it out. But what we're battling is our solution, much like what is happening in Congress today.
Yes.
What we haven't done is put our solutions on pause. Momentarily, we can always come back to them later. People do not want to do this. It's very challenging, but it works. Is put our solution on pause and dial back to the core truth of what we want. If you're the sales guy, the core truth of what you want is you want increased revenue. And if I'm the head of IT, the core truth of what I want is I probably want to increase revenue, increase efficiency, increase profitability. And so we have to start the discussion from there. It is a subtle shift, but it makes all the difference in the world.
All right. Now, relay this to me, if you can, Lisa, about salespeople. Because salespeople, yes, they want to have more sales, but ultimately the salesperson's driving motivation is commission. And so they want sales, yes, but they're not caring about the company's overall sales goals. They're worried about their sales quota. How do you get somebody with that mindset to put the solution aside?
This is a very challenging thing for salespeople to do, and this is where most of my work is. And the salesperson that pushes their solution too early or in a very generic way is significantly less successful than the salesperson who is able to put their solution on pause, even for half of the interaction with the customer. So you've got a half an hour with a customer,
mm-hmm.
even for 15 minutes, if you can put your solution on pause and really dig in to understand what your customer's goals are. And this is, if you have some business people listening here, I want to clarify this. What you really want to understand about the other person is not just what they state their needs to be, but what their actual goals are. And by that I mean, if I am running a major organization, I might tell you, we need a product that does XYZ. But my actual goal is, I want to increase efficiency in my operation. For example, no one said several years ago, I need a device that I can hold on my hand where I can show people pictures of my family and talk on it.
That's true, but
no one said that.
Right.
It was the larger goals that people had are, I want to be connected to other people. I want more creativity in my life. I want more fun. And so what we find with salespeople is, yes, they care about their commission. That's why this embrace and is so important. This first principle, the ability to brace and mm-hmm. the second principle, the ability to sit with uncertainty. If you can put your solution on pause, just momentarily, you can come back to it, and you'll have a very enlightening discussion with your customer.
My guest is Lisa Earl-McLeod, author of the book, The Triangle of Truth, The Surprisingly Simple Secrets to Resolving Conflicts Large and Small. So you've given us two of the principles, Lisa. You promised us three. What's the third one?
The third one, and I want to relate this one to interpersonal situations. It works in business. It will work with Congress, as my two guys prove. And it will also work in an interpersonal conflict. The third principle is, hold a space for the other person's perspective. If you're in a disagreement with someone, think of it like a triangle. You're on the left side in the corner. They're on the right side in the corner. Instead of trying to pull them over to your side or meet in the middle, because you do not want to compromise, compromise is not sustainable over the long haul. Might work in a quick situation, but it doesn't work because people resent it when they have to compromise. So if you think about it like a triangle and think about the ultimate solution being at the top of the triangle, one of the arguments that people frequently write me letters about is a conflict in relationships between men and women.
Okay.
Where women want more talking and men more physical intimacy. And so you get in this debate. We should talk more. No, we should do this more. And it's really a both-and thing. And what the other person is really trying to say is, I want to be closer to you, and this is what makes me feel closer to you. But instead, when we get so afraid that we're not going to get what we want, we're never going to be intimate again, he's never going to talk to me again, we lock down on our point of view, and we don't leave space for the other person. And so if you, again, people can read, 93% of their response to you is to what you're thinking. So if you can physically, if you're in an argument, if you're in a conflict with a spouse or with a coworker or with another congressman, take a breath, do a pause and say, okay, I can hold on to my point of view super, super tight and I can be right. And I want to open up a space for their point of view too. You know how they say you can't be right and happy at the same time? With
mm-hmm.
this model, you can be right and happy at the same time.
Wow, that is amazing. We're talking to Lisa McLeod, author of the book, The Triangle of Truth. Lisa, what do you want readers to take away from reading your book, The Triangle of Truth?
The number one thing that I want people to take away from it is that it is completely within your control to change the trajectory of the conflicts that you have. Within every interaction, you have the power to elevate the discussion and take it to a better place. The other person does not have to have read the book or want to play along, but you, through your words and actions, can elevate any interaction and take it to a better place. That is 100% within your control.
And that is a very admirable goal for the book. Now, Lisa, I'm going to ask you something that I ask many authors. What did you get out of writing the book, The Triangle of Truth?
It really helped me, and that's a very insightful question. It's a great question, because authors write what they need to read. And what The Triangle of Truth helped me do was it helped me understand my own power, and it helped me understand my purpose. Because what I finally came to realize is that I have this skill of teaching people how to better connect with each other, and I realized that I, like many other people, was put on this planet to show people how to create peace. And if I can teach people how to create peace in their homes, in their communities, and in their businesses, that is how we will create peace in the world.
Wow, a very, very noble cause. We've been talking to Lisa Earle McLeod, author of the book, The Triangle of Truth, The Surprisingly Simple Secrets to Resolving Conflicts, Both Large and Small. Lisa, if people are intrigued by what they hear, they want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
They can go to the website, triangleoftruth.com. We have a free weekly tip that we can send out, They can sign up for that right there on that homepage. The other thing they can do is we have a Facebook group. Some readers start a Facebook group called The Book That Will Fix Congress. And if you would like us to call on your congressperson, you can sign right up and they will get a personal call from us.
That is great. And we need to do more of that. You've gotten to two of them. Only 533 more congressmen and women to go. Very admirable goal. Lisa, thank you so much for being my special guest. We'll talk to you down the road.
Great. Thanks for the time.
Take care.